to transmission routers.
Hello and welcome to Queer Ear. I'm Rory Boyle and you're listening to the queer thinking, straight talking transmission roundhouse podcast that leaves no stone unturned and no wig unsnatched. On each episode of Queer Ear, we spill the LGBT to listeners from around the world. And no matter where you're listening from, I'm sure you'll agree that we all have reason to celebrate the recent election of Joe Biden as the next president of the United States. And of course, Senator Kamala Harris, who will become the first female vice president and the first woman of color in that position as well, which is a huge win for our nearest and queerest around the globe. Now look, I know they're not everyone's dream team, but I think I'd probably have voted for a soiled dildo over Orange Cheeto. And America has made far worse decisions. I mean, who else remembers Adam Lambert coming second on Idol? Hashtag still bitter. But I digress, because while the future is finally looking bright for the US, the same can't be said for the country this episode is focusing on.
The LGBTQ community in Poland has a message for the world: we don't feel safe here. This comes after a newspaper distributed LGBT free zone stickers. People were attacked in an equality march, and a government minister defended the Archbishop of Krakow, who called the community a rainbow plague.
These people in Białystok in Poland were attacked. This was the first ever Pride march in that city. The people there attacked by counter-demonstrators, the police detaining a number of far-right activists. Earlier last month, we saw these distributed. They might look like normal stickers, but these are anti-LGBT, LGBT-free zone stickers, in fact, that this newspaper in Poland printed so users could display them.
Today at the White House, President Trump met with the president of Poland, the first foreign leader to visit the White House in months since the pandemic hit. But back home, Poland's LGBTQ community says that Duda is persecuting them in an appeal to conservative voters. And now activists in Poland are speaking up.
It's my honor to have a friend of mine here, President Duda of Poland, who has done an incredible job, and I do believe he'll be very successful.
With every wave of the rainbow flag, Poland's LGBT community fans the flames of those who hate them. Groups of right-wing nationalists like these just don't want to see it anymore.
According to our faith, according to our traditions, and according to nature, it's our nature to be LGBT.
But LGBT activists are afraid of what might happen next. Polish President Andrzej Duda doesn't appear to be listening. He wants to ban schools from teaching anything about LGBT issues. And he compared the movement to communism, an emotional trigger for many in Poland.
So you just heard a selection of news reports on the current climate for queer people living in Poland, where the recent re-election of President Andrzej Duda has served as a devastating blow for queer campaigners and activists who've been long highlighting the overt homophobia at the center of his campaign. Now, everything we're discussing on this episode hasn't come out of nowhere. In fact, it all started when the mayor of Warsaw, about a year and a half ago, signed a declaration supporting LGBT rights. But what was supposed to be a step in the right direction quickly turned to conflict when the city government said they'd teach school children about same-sex relationships. The backlash from this resulted in right-wing populists creating one of the harshest realities many queer people are now facing in Poland: LGBT-free zones. These are regions of Poland that have declared themselves unwelcoming of an alleged LGBT ideology in order to ban equality marches, pride parades, and any other queer-related events. Encompassing about a third of the country, these areas are called LGBT-free zones because of the values they've adopted. Now, later in the episode, we're going to be hearing from Bart Stawowski. He's an activist who co-founded one of Poland's equality marches. described as a Polish stone wall, which saw rocks and other objects being thrown at those marching. Now, Bart got through all that and continues to campaign and campaign, and he's been instrumental in highlighting Poland's LGBT-free zones, thanks to a photography project seen around the world. We'll explore all that later, but while Bart fights on in Poland's capital, many queer people have chosen to leave their homeland in the search for greater acceptance. In just a moment, we'll be hearing from Polish Remover, Polka Dot, and Alexis St. Pete, three Polish drag queens who make up Slav4U, a drag collective whose brand of all-killer, no-filler performances with a meaningful message has found them great success on stage in London. But how did these queens think they'd fare if they were growing up in Poland at a time when homophobia seems to completely dictate the experiences of queer youth? Here's what they had to say when we caught up. It's a real treat for me to speak to three Polish drag queens on a rainy afternoon. So thank you guys for already brightening up my day. I think I'd kind of like to start by going back to growing up as queer people. I'm actually going to start with Polish Remover simply because I know it's not a competition, ladies, but it is my favorite name of the three of you guys.
Growing up in Poland as a queer kid was actually, this is going to be disappointing for you. It was easy because I always was very, very colorful and like a very artistic person. And I have people who love me, and that was the most important thing for me. And my teachers and my classmates, they know about me, they all accept me. It was a different, strange and a difficult situation at home. But at some point, my parents started educating themselves. They start understanding me, accepting me and loving me, I think, even more than ever before. When they realized I'm a drag queen, they actually fell in love. And my mom said, I've seen drag queen on the TV shows. If that makes you happy and you don't harm anybody else, do it. Be yourself.
Well, that is such a lovely story, and it's not disappointing to me at all. I think it's great that maybe you don't have the stereotypical view that we see of growing up queer in Poland. Alexis St. Pete, I'm wondering if that was the same for you.
For me, it was totally different. I was a ballet dancer ever since I was 4. I was bullied every single day, but thank God for my passion and for my dreams that kept me kind of alive, I'd say, because I always knew what I wanted to do. Even now when I go to Poland, the sad part about it is that I always have to dress up differently. I can never really go to Poland looking exactly the same way as I would go here. And I would be always still kind of scared that people would be pointing at me and, you know, making comments. It is sad, unfortunately, and it became even worse. We're starting to have buses going around town, spreading the wrong messages just because we wanted to introduce sexual education in schools. Just by being uneducated, this is why I think people are homophobic in Poland, because they don't really realize what is the truth.
Well, I definitely want to come back to some of those messages that we've seen spread around the country. But before we go there, Polka Dot, I just want to know a little bit more about your experiences of growing up.
So my experience of growing up being queer in Poland, similar to Polish Remover, I was privileged enough to be surrounded by loving parents and great friends. Obviously, that didn't allow me to just come out straight away because I knew what are the risks. And I could see examples of my friends who came out and were not fully accepted or respected. And I thought to myself, okay, I'm going to come out to my parents only if I'm going to have a boyfriend, or I'm going to decide to move to another country. So I'm still single, just putting it out there. If anyone fancies a drag queen boyfriend slash girlfriend, let me know. So before moving out to the UK, I just sat down with my mom. I was just saying, Mom, I don't fancy girls. And I could see literally the poker face, this sweat on my mom's face. And then she kind of cut it short. She said like, oh, I need to go to bed, because it was just too much for her. Being very religious, both me and her back then, we had the conversation the next day when she started to ask questions. Overall, she was okay with it, but she was living in denial for a very long while, just thinking that, oh, I can just pray the gay away. She is now very supportive. Same with my dad, my siblings. Ups and downs, obviously, like in every family. But overall, I was privileged enough to never coming across massive bullying in school. Obviously, there were some slurs that you get accustomed to and you feel like, oh, yeah, everyone is doing it. They call me names. They call me that I'm girly. They call me that I've got, you know, broken wrists and this kind of stuff. Whatever. because you get used to it, you see that politicians do it, you see that church is doing it, so you kind of feel like, whatever, you know. But only in the UK, when I moved here, I realized that this is not okay. My mental health was really bad at that time, because you just take it and you always brush it off. No, I was not fine. And this is my message to everyone who is listening. If you don't feel okay, don't say it's okay. This is our nature that we are just saying, yeah, I'm fine, I'm okay. No, say how you feel. If you don't feel okay, say it. Name your feelings, because they are valid.
Poca, that's a great message. And I think another message you maybe snuck in there was that if anybody's listening to this and wants to slide into your DMs and ask you out for a cocktail, that's all right too.
Social distancing, we may need to swap some dick pics and do some video calls. But yeah, once the corona is over, we can meet in person and you can see this beauty. Maybe don't come too close because, you know, I'm getting old. There are some pores and like wrinkles.
All right, well, we're not here to judge, so we embrace all of that. But one thing that I'm not on board with is some of the headlines I've been seeing about what's going on in Poland. And you've all touched on it slightly, you know, the fact that there is so much unrest there. Now, I'm never one to ask a true lady their age, but I think I can guess from seeing you guys, it's probably been, you know, over 20 years since you guys were growing up as young people in Poland. And since then, obviously, we've seen the rise of the internet, we've seen blogs, podcasts, social media all act as ways to connect with other people and get more information. But with everything I've been seeing, with all the headlines I've been seeing about what's going on in Poland, not just in terms of specifically being queer, but with abortion rights, with everything that's going on with your current president and political unrest, do you feel like things are going backwards? And I'm interested, Polish, to actually direct that question to you first, because it sounds like you had a pretty good time growing up, generally speaking.
In general, it was amazing living in Poland, and I was always myself in Poland. Now, when we've been in Poland 2 months ago, I was actually afraid to wear something too colorful. I actually bleached my hair to blonde. I don't want to wear something green. I don't want to wear something pink. Because I just don't want to listen to stupid comments on the street, and I don't want to put this in my head. I don't want to overthink it. So it's definitely a horrible situation in Poland now.
Alexis, you kind of touched a little bit on the fact that people in Poland maybe have some of this homophobia due to a lack of education. Again, you know, with all of the LGBT-free zones that we see, and with all of that negativity and all that very rampant homophobia, like, can you put yourself in the shoes of somebody who's experiencing that now? Because obviously you said it was difficult for you, but to me that just seems like it's on a whole other level.
Nowadays it would hurt very differently, because as a child, when you come home and say you're being bullied, your mom will always say, you know, it's only a child, don't worry about it. But nowadays, where you hear it from everybody, I could not have imagined how it must feel for people that actually live in Poland. And this is really stressing out. And then one of these things are, I'll always try to stay away from the negativity on the internet. I'm trying to always not look into it, because I'm like the most sensitive person ever. Whenever I see some negative things, I close myself and I just don't want to see it.
Poca, I mean, you know, Alexis has just mentioned the word stress. Do you feel stressed on a day-to-day basis by everything you're seeing in your home country?
So I would go back to probably presidential elections. And even before that, when we had got parliamentary elections in Poland, for the first time, there was a party made up by a gay politician, Robert Biedroń, called Wiosna. And that's when the first time I realized, wow, there is a gay politician in the parliament. He is literally me. And not only he's having the same name as me, Robert, as well, but voting actually matters. Even if I live in the UK, I still care for my parents who live there. I care for my siblings. I feel truly Polish, so I'm going to vote. Then the news came out that President Duda, who is openly homophobic, let's face it, called us an ideology. That's complete, utter lie. And this is actually disgusting. There were moments that I was really sad. There were moments that I was crying in my bedroom, because it was overwhelming to see another LGBT kid taking their lives because there is open homophobia from the clergy and from politicians. Hate speech is causing death. There is an equal sign between it. And that impacts definitely our mental health. So I cannot imagine how it is now to grow up in Poland being queer, because we were kind of privileged. Now it was brought up to the surface as a scapegoat, the LGBT community, to cover up other issues that they have, like, oh, let's blame the gays, you know? We get beaten up on the streets, etc. And we forget about clergy molesting kids, and we forget about all the bribes taken by the politicians, etc. And it impacts our mental health. So I would say, yeah, I do feel stressed at times. But the moment I realize that, I name my feelings, I tell myself that they are valid. You can either accept it or you can face it. You cannot just forget it and brush it under the carpet.
I'm glad that you brought up the politician that shares your real name, because a comparison that he's made is the dehumanization of Jews pre-World War II and now the dehumanization of LGBTQ people living in Poland. What do you all make of that comparison?
Of course, it's hard to compare this sensitive topic, but we can see that there are slurs written underneath windows of people that are gay, and there are people taking their lives. We cannot compare those two situations, but you can see the pattern, like, where are we going? You need to make some harsh comparisons sometimes to actually open people's eyes. You don't want to be on the wrong side of the history books again.
Well, I think one thing we can all probably agree on is that we need a good laugh to end the year. And I know that's going to be provided for us at the Clapham Grand, of course, if everything goes to plan and we come out of this dreadful lockdown. So tell me a bit more about your drag and what people are going to see if they come out to see your show.
Not everybody can be out and happy. So we want a space where people can come in, be themselves, listen to their favorite diva songs, have fun. Don't be judged. And we are really, really taking it to the next level, bringing you the best show RuPaul's Drag Race could never. So if you will come to our show, you are going to leave it with a jaw on your floor, basically, because we are creating everything that's the highest level.
That sounds like the perfect antidote to 2020's reign of terror. So if you live in London, make sure to grab your ticket to the Slav for Yule Christmas party on December 14th at the Clapham Grand. Tickets are available on Dice, and all the info is on the girls' social media, which is at Slav for You Party. So usually when I move from one pole to another, it's to make it rain, if you know what I'm saying. But in this case, I'm about to speak to Bart Stawowski, the activist who captured worldwide attention for his portrait series of queer Polish people outside towns that have declared themselves LGBT-free. Now, it's worth mentioning that a conservative Polish paper issued LGBT-free zone stickers to readers in 2019, which were proudly displayed by Poland's wide population of homophobes. Now, of course, they were also met with some opposition, and Bart really took matters into his own hands by photographing local queer people in front of fake LGBT-free zone signs that he positions outside communities that have passed such declarations. Now, Bart has definitely faced abuse and legal ramifications for his actions. I mean, we already mentioned in the episode that he's faced physical violence at protests and equality marches. In fact, the very day that we caught up, he had just been interrogated by police. But his photography really is incredible and has to be seen. The pictures see Polish people unapologetically coming out to a country that has largely condemned them, and they really just speak for themselves. Now, Bart began our conversation by taking me into the lived experience of one of the subjects of his photos.
One of those guys came out as a gay person, became a public figure in the city. So everybody knows him. And because of it, he faced different types of homophobia. He's taking the medical drugs for his heart. And even in the pharmacy, some of the pharmacists just told him, I will not sell you this drug to you. And this is how it's working in those small cities, that when you are opposing to the majority, you can face such bad situations.
Yes, you heard that correctly. A pharmacist in Poland was literally refusing to give someone their medication due to their queer identity. I mean, it really seems like the most blatant example of discrimination. So what other dangers do those who come out in Bart's photos pose to themselves by being so open about who they are? And how difficult is it not only to find people who are willing to speak, but also to share their image with the world?
This is also why I have just a few people in my project. And most of the photos I made are just simple photos without people, because people are afraid. And most of those who are in my project are protected and accepted by their families. Not everybody has this big privilege of having a very good relationship with their parents, but at least they accept them. I am the privileged one living in Warsaw on daily basis. I'm not risking a lot. They are risking much more.
So these photos have obviously gone all around the world and they've had various reactions. Of course, some people aren't happy with the signs. There's been a lot of anger from people living in these places who say that LGBT-free zones don't exist and that the signs are harmful and defamatory. So can you talk to me a bit about some of the legal action that's being taken against you?
Yes, right. Today, I was just interrogated by the police. It was one of 8 or 9 interrogations that I has in past because of these photos. They are interrogating me because in Poland, it's of course illegal to hang any signs on the legal signs. But all of those cases was dropped against me. But some of the local communities decided to create a lawsuit by their own against me for defamation. And so there are 2 cities that told that the photos of them was somehow destroying their good name, and therefore they need to protect it because they are not homophobic. They have just this act, which is to protect the families, not to harm anybody. Of course, it's a reframing of the right-wing language. I mean, of course, we are not the problem. They are the problem. Branding LGBT people as some kind of ideology. We heard it many times in Polish history and not just in Poland. So it's nothing new. And my action is just mirroring it. I mean, I just put it a mirror to the homophobic face of this local government and nothing more.
Well, I want to talk about the government, but before we talk about that particular topic, I want to ask you a little bit more about some of the things you've experienced, because I think even having a lawsuit filed against you, you know, that sounds really scary in itself, especially when you're living in a country where there is so much homophobia and there is going to be this blowback from so many people. You sound very strong. You sound very defiant, but does that scare you, all of the kind of vitriol that you're receiving personally?
Yes, I mean, of course I am scared because I need to be strong. Every time my face is visible in the news at 7 p.m. on the public TV, which is owned by the government, they are creating horrible propaganda that I am this horrible fascist activist who is going to other countries and making a bad picture of Poland. And this is so much anti-patriotic. The prime minister telling that I am the fake newsmaker, that I am the problem of Poland, that I am anti-patriotic, and therefore I am an enemy. So people are just hating me. There are horrible things happening. So I'm just also expecting that sometime, at some moment of my day, the police will come for me. I am scared that something can happen to me, to my parents, to my family, to my boyfriend, that he can lose his job just because this case is political and this is pain death for the government.
And a lot of this hatred is, of course, coming from your president as well. He's been completely unapologetic about his views. Can you take me into your meeting with him earlier this year? Because I read something really powerful that you brought photos of young Polish people who were queer and had taken their own lives. And you also brought a book about gay people who were living in Auschwitz. Can you take me into that encounter?
Yes, of course. So I began the speech that, Mr. President, this is the young people that commit suicide because of your homophobia, because of the homophobia of your government. And so this whole meeting was just about this, because I knew that I will not convince him. He is cynical. He is against the LGBT rights. The only thing is that I can bring awareness of the young people who commit suicide. We know about those few people because this went to the media. The numbers are just horrible. Of course, he's saying all the time that he is not against the people. But when I ask him and ask him, what is this ideology? It's obvious the ideology is our LGBT rights. So we see that all those things that are legacy of the democracy, of the European Union, of the things that we think that should be standard are for them an ideology. And therefore, I'm not using this language of LGBT rights and LGBT ideology, because there is no ideology. There is just human beings who want their life in dignity.
I was going to ask you if you thought the government were in denial, but you've clearly spelled it out. And the reason I was going to ask that is because I don't know if you saw CNN ran a story recently where they claimed that the LGBT-free signs were put up by local governments. Now, of course, they were put up by yourself as, you know, this act of activism. But the Polish embassy responded with a statement saying that Polish legislation guarantees dignity for LGBT people in all areas of life. But I mean, that statement doesn't align with their actions at all.
Yes, of course. We have this Article 32 that guarantees the equality of everybody. In Poland, you can just imagine what it means for the LGBT NGOs to not have any funding from the government. We can just count on ourselves, on crowdfunding campaigns, and on the European Union and the Norwegian funds. Poland don't have anti-discrimination workshops created by their own to the schools or program or project. They just see that there is no homophobia in Poland. They don't see it, they don't want to see it. Repeating the same story that Poland is a beautiful place for everybody. Everyone is equal according to the law. We don't have civil unions. We don't have marriage equality. We don't have possibility for adoption rights. And even Polish president during his election campaign told that we should have it prohibited in Polish constitution to have kids adopted by single parents that are gay or lesbian. And I think who is believing into this rhetoric? I think nobody. This is the only thing that they can do, to repeat that the Poland is a beautiful place. And obviously, it's not.
Well, I want to end our conversation by talking about what we can actually do, because I have a quote from you where you've said, "Talking is great, but if there's no action, nothing changes." We've definitely seen action from you and from other activists in Poland who are working hard to create positive change. What can Polish people do while staying safe? And what can we do for those of us who aren't in Poland who want to help?
I think that Polish people can make their political choices more aware about the LGBT rights. It's the thing that we usually say again and again, are repeating. Make accountable your politicians of what they are doing. I mean, on local governments or in the parliament. For the international audience, is to push your local government to ask about the LGBT rights in Poland. I know that the Polish politicians, when they meet with other politicians from the other countries, are quite surprised when they are asked by the Polish situation for the LGBT community. And I think it's a very great pressure made on them. Whenever you hear that some part of Polish government is coming to your country, just remind your politicians to remind about the LGBT rights, because it's obvious that they are not doing it correctly, that they are against us. So the only thing is to create a pressure and maybe collect money for the Polish NGOs.
And if you want to make a donation to help Bart's invaluable work, you can do so by heading to Patreon/LGBT activist. One word that's come up time and time again on this podcast is privilege. As I mentioned at the start of the episode, we have listeners from all around the world and from many different identities and walks of life. So, of course, the privileges we hold won't be the exact same. But if you're listening to this podcast, I'm going to conclude that you have the power to educate yourself on queer issues. And hopefully that means that you also want your voice to be heard. So whether you're in Poland, Panama, or Pakistan, your thoughts and opinions are valid. If you have the right to vote and you're able to contact your local government, remember how powerful that really is. Governments around the world have responded to the pandemic in polarizing ways, and one thing I hope that has highlighted is just how important it is to have the right people in power. The future might be looking a bit bleak in Poland at the moment, but it doesn't have to stay that way. And yes, there are still a lot of people who voted for Trump this time round, but even if we had lost our collective minds and stopped the count, don't get me started on that, the racist game show host was still going to be the Javine Hilton to Biden's Sarah Harding. Biden's victory shows that we can change and progress into a world that's equal for everyone. It won't happen overnight, but in the meantime, we can take Bart's advice and continue to fight for our queer Polish family. Unfortunately, that's nearly it from me, but if you like what you heard, please do hit that follow button on Spotify, rate us 5 stars on Apple, or subscribe and leave a review. It always leaves me with a smile bigger than Gretchen Wiener's hair to see that you're enjoying the episodes we work so hard on making. All that's left to say is that I've been Rory Boyle. Thanks for getting it in gear, keeping it here, and listening to Queer Ear.